Hello everyone, this is AJ and you are listening to AJ's Side Panel. In this episode, we have a little special guest with us. We're going to be talking to Bria Grant, star of Friday Night Lights, Heroes, and recently Halloween 2. In this interview, she'll be discussing a little bit about her upcoming comic book, We Will Bury You, and which she's doing in collaboration with her brother Zane Grant. So, without further ado, here we go with the interview.
Hey everybody, welcome to AJ's Side Panel. I'm here in L.A. with former star of Friday Night Lights and Heroes and past movie, The Summer, Halloween 2, Bria Grant. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Now, we're sitting down here and to discuss your upcoming comic book that you wrote with your brother, correct?
Yeah.
You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, it's called We Will Bury You. It comes out February 10th, and it's a historical zombie comic set in the 1920s in New York.
Nice. And how did you guys come up with the concept for it?
Well, both of us have a background in history. I have a master's degree in history. Zane has a couple of master's degrees in various liberal arts. And so I think we sort of wanted to put that to use, and so we combined that with our love of the horror genre.
And just stuck with zombies?
Yeah, that was actually Zane's idea. Zane just called me up one day and basically was like, I think we should write a zombie comic but set it in the 20s.
Nice. So how does the writing process happen with the... He's East Coast, correct?
Yeah, he's in New York, and I'm here in L.A. And so it is actually a lot easier than you would imagine, because we don't ever have to set up meetings. It's usually one of us writes a few pages, sends it over, the other person edits it and adds on. And it actually works a lot better than you would imagine. We were a little worried about it at first, and our editors were definitely worried about it. But it seems to work out fine.
Nice. And are you enjoying... This is your first foray into the comic book world, right?
It is. It's my first official writing anything, which I'm surprised anyone has faith in me to do anything like that. But IDW has been really cool and helping us out along the way and kind of telling us what to do, giving us help, showing us the ropes, that kind of thing.
Nice. And so, I don't know where I'm going with the next question. I just summed up. Sorry, you're enjoying it, though. You're having fun writing it, and are you excited to see all the art coming out? Who's doing the art? Strom?
Yeah, it's Kyle Strom is doing the art. Zach Atkinson is doing the lettering and all that kind of stuff. And it's been cool. I've seen the first issue and completely colored and done, and it was really exciting. It was actually, I hate to say this, but it was more exciting than watching myself on TV for the first time or something like that, because I think because it was something I had created, or Zane and I created together, and it was neat to see it, this idea that we had, finally put down on paper.
Right. No, I know the exact same feeling. Like, as I said before, we're putting out our comic book as well, and seeing something I wrote, actually illustrated and created, it's very surreal.
Yeah, there's something very insane about it, because you have this idea, and then you don't know if anybody will understand what you're talking about, and then all of a sudden there it is, and they totally understood, and it's just nice to see it go, and it didn't change actually that much from our original script to the ending, which was really exciting, because everybody told me, don't get too attached, because, everybody's going to want to change everything, and it's basically the exact same thing we wrote.
Nice. So what's the first issue about?
The first issue is about our two main characters. One thing is Mira, and she's a taxi hall dancer, which is, I guess it would have been pre-strip club. It was where you paid money to dance with a girl.
Kind of like a bordello, but...
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, you pay 5 cents for whatever, you dance with a girl. It's her and her girlfriend, you find out, who is an immigrant and a thief. And you meet them, and you find out that Mira's husband knows that she has a girlfriend, and things go crazy while the zombie apocalypse approaches.
So, in your version, the zombie apocalypse happens in the 1920s.
Yeah, our whole idea was to have a sort of write an alternate history. What would happen if it hit, right around the Great Depression, right around, when there was a lot of stuff going on in the U.S., what would happen if it hit then, instead of, a lot of times, most zombie books are set currently.
Right.
And how would people deal with it differently? How would people from maybe not, you know, usually we focus on people who have their lives together and the zombie apocalypse makes their lives fall apart. What it would be the difference if we take some people whose lives are really not that together and almost falling apart anyway, and then throw them into a world of zombies.
Nice, nice. That sounds very familiar, doesn't it, Brian?
No, did you guys write the same book?
Probably. But ours is about, after the apocalypse happens, how we take back, you know, the world from the zombies. But...
That's cool. The first place I read something like that was World War Z, which I thought was such an interesting concept because, you know, there are all these ideas of, like, what you would do, how you would fight, but what happens if, like, you're trying to just get back to normal.
Right, right. So, and that's what ours kind of takes place between, like, 28 days later and 28 weeks later.
Sure.
You know, somewhere in there. And we talked to Max Brooks about it, and he was pretty jazzed about it as well.
That's cool.
So, I'm like, as long as Max Brooks says it's okay, then we're cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was our idea, too, is that it was, like, you know, usually we're focusing on people living normal lives, like, what if we take that normalcy out? And people who are living lives that are completely on the fringe of society, like, how do they survive? I mean, they actually have better street skills and better, could manage probably better than most of us who live these really comfortable lives, you know, and get our lattes in the morning or whatever.
Right.
Or the 1920s equivalent.
Well, then, you know, it's got to be different writing it for the 1920s time period as opposed to writing it now because the technology is so different and the demeanor and attitude of people are so different. So how did you cope with that?
Sorry, I have a bad cough right now. I mean, for one, we tried to include, like, the language is a little... I mean, and sometimes we couldn't figure out if it was cheesy or funny or if it worked, but we tried to include a lot of the slang from the 20s. And we tried to include what people were worried about, you know. They were worried about the Depression. They were worried about not having any money and how that would affect... how they dealt with the zombie apocalypse. And the other thing we really focused on is, like, in the second issue, what we really wanted to talk about was the different technologies and the way people then would have dealt with it. About how radio would have been... I mean, radio is actually just coming... just really getting popular in the 20s, and a lot of people didn't even have radios. And so how radio would have been important, and how telegrams would have been important, but most people didn't really have phones. And so we have one phone in the first issue, but otherwise you aren't really going to see people calling and trying to, you know, tell, warn people that way. And we talked about a lot about the difference between technology and religion, because that was a big fight right then, where people, technology was sort of taking over, and religion was this whole other realm. So we kind of have that fight in the second issue where some people are turning to religion and some people are turning to, like, technology and pills and, you know, whatever they sort of technologies were available at that time.
Right, well, back then, wouldn't it be considered like paganism and devil worship and stuff to look at science that way?
Right, yeah. But science was actually, I mean, it was getting, I mean, people were having more faith in science at that point a big thing was to shock therapy was really big, and a lot of having, like, tonics and stuff was really big, and so we kind of incorporate a lot of that stuff. There are people trying to heal themselves that way.
Like with the traveling salesman and all that stuff.
Exactly. We didn't use the traveling salesman, but that would have been good. I'm going to steal that for the next one.
All right. Issue number two, that idea came from me right there.
I'll owe you some royalties or something.
Yeah, just put my name somewhere on it. I'll be happy. Again, this being your first time doing the comic books, are you enjoying it? Is it a different world for you? Is it...
Yeah, it's a really different world. I mean, but it's fun. I mean, for me, I hate to talk about myself as an actress, but that is my job, or
right.
Was my job previous to this. And there's a lot of waiting around in the acting world, a lot of me waiting by my phone to see if someone's going to call me to get me to audition or maybe in their movie or whatever. And it takes forever to get anything done. You shoot a movie and then 3 years later you actually see it. And so this has been a much quicker and more fun process because we can work on it on our own, and we're working on other projects right now just for the fun of it. And that's been really cool. I know. So the one thing we did do when we first started writing is we overwrote. I don't know if you had this problem, but we overwrote so much, and we were like, oh my god, we have so much dialogue. Like, we didn't realize, and I think it's because we read a lot of comics, but Zane and I are also huge. I mean, we watch way more movies and television than probably most people should. And so I think we wrote a lot of it like a TV show or something like that in some ways, and so the dialogue was way overwritten. So we had to scale back. That was the one thing we really learned early on, that we didn't need to write as much dialogue as we were writing.
Now, did you write it as a story first or just straight as a script?
We wrote it straight as a script, but we had a pretty solid outline. We wrote an outline. We actually outlined about 12 issues, and then, of course, IDW didn't want to give us 12 issues right off the bat since we had never written anything anymore before, so we scaled it down to 4.
Now, how did you shop this around? How did you come across getting being published by IDW?
We didn't. I met Ben Templesmith at a comic convention thing, and essentially stopped him a little bit to get him to meet me, and then we were just having drinks one night, and I was like, I have a comic idea, which I know is like the lamest thing you could probably do to Ben Templesmith, and
right.
Telling him about it. He's like, I'll take it to IDW, and he was probably drunk, but he agreed to do it anyway, and I held him to that, and he did, and he hooked us up with his editor, and we sent up our pitch, and they said yeah, so it was actually a pretty nice, smooth process for us.
Must be nice.
I know, I'm sorry. I know, part of me does feel very guilty about that. I'm sure it helps when you're on a national sci-fi TV show. But, you know,
we're no longer talking to Bria. We're going to just walk away now.
I mean, you know, this is our first one, and maybe everyone will hate it, and we'll have to start over pitching again, and people will be like, we wrote that crappy one.
Right.
So, you know, I feel like we're going to be judged pretty harshly because people probably know it's a little easier for us to have it.
Well, you know, it's going along with the string of other successful actors and actresses that are putting out their own comic book right now.
Yeah.
Gabriel Way and the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
You know, Milo's got one out. I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple out. And then, you know, Zach is producing a couple.
He's putting one out as well?
Well, he's producing them. And Milo, same thing. They produced them, which I think means they put the people together.
And Tyrese is doing Mayhem.
Right.
Who else is there? He goes on a long rant about movie stars being into comic books.
You have something you need to say to me right now?
No.
Go ahead.
No, I've gone on rants before with, you know, people like getting into comic books that don't really care about it. But I think it's a little bit different in your case just because of the fact that, I mean, for one, you're on Hero, so you get a little bit of the nerd cred that way. Yeah.
And two, you're right here, so we can't really say anything.
No.
It's so true.
If I had something to say, I would say it.
Mm.
But, no, there's a lot of people out there that have kind of just started jumping on the comic book thing since, like, the movies have become so successful and they're, like, releasing comic books and it just doesn't seem like they really care.
Yeah, it's actually really funny because the one thing people who aren't comic book people who've asked me about it, they're like, oh, are you going to make it into a movie?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't own that, the rights to the movie part of it. IDW owns all of that. And so, no. And then two, they're like, you want to be in the movie? I'm like, not really. Like, this was actually just a story that we were, it's a story for the comic book medium. It's not a story necessarily for the screen. People definitely make that assumption that that's the next step. And that's the reason a lot of actors get into it, because the comic movies have been so successful. Not necessarily good, but they've been successful.
All right, we're not going to talk about the quality of them.
Anything else you have to say, Brian? No, I think I'm
okay, I don't think I've ever seen Brian that red, but that's all right. That being that, traffic. One thing I gotta apologize to the listeners right now is we're on the streets in LA, so there's a lot of background noise. We do apologize for that, but you can get over it. One question I did have, now that are you contracted through IDW for the book? Are you contracted through IDW to write the book?
Does that mean I can only write for IDW? That's what that means.
Meaning they're paying you to write the book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you feel like you lose any creativity in that?
No, actually. I mean, that's just, that was the surprising thing to me because I think it's because most, I know a lot of screenwriters that get very upset about that when you write a screenplay, it gets torn up and people rewrite it and stuff. And so I had this expectation that would kind of happen through the comic, but it hasn't at all, actually. And there's stuff we've taken out, they're like, oh, maybe you should have, we liked that. Why did you take that out? And No, they've actually been really supportive of everything we've come up with. I mean, they didn't make us, you know, write less dialogue, besides that, which was good. Even reading the first one, I'm like, we could have written even more, even less than we wrote. But,
well, somebody needs to tell that to Bendis.
Oh, well, it won't be me.
Next time I say, I'll be like, Bria said, you need to write less dialogue because she has it.
And he'll be like, who?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they've been really cool, actually, all the way. Our editor, Denton, has been, I mean, from the beginning, just really, like, a big supporter of everything we've done. And we can ask him, like, the dumbest questions in the world, which I feel like I had a lot of. Because, you know, it's the first thing I've ever written comic book-wise. And so, yeah.
So, how did you get together with Kyle Strom?
How did that happen? Basically, we were just looking through art. I mean, they, Chris
Like,
Ryle,
did you have a contest or anything, or a way to send in submissions, or?
No, Chris Ryle was our editor at the time, and then we switched over to Denton, but I think Chris was our editor. Maybe it was Denton. I can't remember. But they just sent us a bunch of artists, and they were like, who do you like best? We've worked with these guys. We know that they're solid, and they do their work, and he was just the one we liked the best. I think the big thing was we wanted someone who could draw really grotesque, monstery stuff, who could do really crazy, bloody, gory stuff if we wanted it, but also could draw really attractive women who weren't super comic booky, over the top attractive women.
No Liefeld women.
No, like, yeah. We wanted to make sure they didn't have the weird, like, butt thing going. That was, anyway.
The boob to butt ratio
the
was equal.
The boob to butt ratio should be, yeah, it's a waste, should not be, like, whatever. But no, he could do that. And, like, we just, I don't know. It was like we both looked through them all, and he was the one where we were like, we both picked him out as our top pick. He was just the best.
Nice. And so, in getting Temple Smith to pitch your idea for you, is that how you got him to do the covers?
Yeah, he came on to do the first cover, and then, he's a busy guy, as you might imagine, and so we ended up going with different people for the next cover. The next one is, the second cover is Nate Powell did it, who, did Swallow Me Whole. He's actually a friend of Zane and mine from way back in the day, so that was kind of a nice little
perk.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Now, how many issues is the series going to be?
Right now it's 4.
And do you have any plans to either further on the series or write a different comic book series after this?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, we definitely have written this series. I mean, when we originally wrote it, it was world encompassing, and we had different stories going on in different parts of the world, and we had all these different characters. So we would love to keep writing this series, but we have about 3 other ideas we've been sort of fleshing out and trying to get to where we want to pitch them and show them to people.
So does this mean that we're not going to see you on screen anymore, or are you going to do both?
I mean, I'll probably end up doing both. I mean, I will do both. I just finished a movie, and then I have a pilot over at Comedy Central, actually a sci-fi cartoon pilot with the guys from Futurama, and so we're waiting to see if that gets picked up.
Cronin?
I'm sorry?
Cronin?
No, I wish. I mean, no, not, I mean, the guy who did it is also very cool. No, another guy from Futurama. And, yeah, so I am doing stuff. That's a cartoon, though, so it's a little different than, I guess, you won't see my face.
Boo.
Yeah, it's fine, I mean.
You're like, draw my face on
any job I can show up in my pajamas is really my ideal job, where I don't actually...
And now you know why we're in comics.
Exactly. I
had to get dressed today, I was so bitter.
I know, I mean, I don't, my hair is wet and right now, and I can't, I have a lot of trouble getting dressed in the morning, I don't know what the problem is.
Well, if you don't mind, we're going to take a quick break and then come back and do a little more personal interview.
Yeah.
Awesome. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brandy Ostet, Reiki Master Teacher and High Priestess, and also author of The Goddess Guide. Please visit my website at brandyostet.com for information on all things spiritual and mythological.
And we're back with Bria Grant. We're here in L.A. looking at the Jackie Chan sign of obvious ripoff of The Pacifier.
It's so weird.
It is. It's a complete ripoff.
The Pacifier, though. I guess I didn't see that one in the theater.
Well, you know, Vin Diesel, everybody saw it.
Right, sure.
So, Well, if I can ask you, what happened to your character on Heroes, and why aren't you on there anymore?
I died a couple of times on Heroes, but the final death, I got shot, and then it got infected, and then I died.
Didn't you have, like, a big fantasy dream sequence going on, too?
Yeah, it was actually cool, because I read the script, and I was reading it, and it was like, she wakes up, and, like, and then she gets, I was, like, mad at Greg Grunberg's character or something, and left, and I was like, what a weird ending, and then I'm in Paris, and I was like, who wrote this crap? And then it was, like, actually all in my head that he was, like, in my head making it happen.
Nice.
So, yeah. But Brian Fuller was the writer on that, and he did a really beautiful job. It was actually a wonderful death sequence for me. And I was never a permanent character on Heroes. I did do almost the whole season, but as far as my contract went, I was never a permanent character, which people were really shocked when they didn't, when I died.
Right, yeah, I was shocked as well. I mean, you were on the first few episodes pretty steadily, and then you, like, showed up every now and then, so I figured you were, like, you know, a random character throughout the season, but you were on pretty, a lot throughout the season.
Really steadily. I mean, the first half I was on every episode, I guess, except with one. So, yeah, it was good. I mean, it's a wonderful job to do. I mean, it took for 8 months. And that's really rare in the acting world to get a job that lasts that long.
See, I was cheering for you because, like, I saw you in Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that show, and I liked your character. And so when you left that show and they were here, I was like, why is she? Oh, she's over here. Okay.
Yeah, and that was unfortunate because I love Friday Night Lights. That's, filming that is so much fun for actors because they don't make you stick to the script, and you don't have to hit your marks, and you mostly improvise. I mean, those guys are genius improvisers. And so it's just a super fun show. But my first day on set for Friday Night Lights, it was the first day of the writer's strike. And so we just did the scripts that were written, and then we left. So I went home, and by the time the writer's strike ended and things started back up, I was already on Heroes. And so who knows if I would have actually gone back. I like to tell myself I would, but I don't know if it's actually true.
I was saying, because your character just dropped away one day, right?
Yeah, off the planet.
Yeah, there was no ending.
I mean, he dumped me. So,
right.
And to be fair, in most high school shows, I think those people just disappear and come back.
Well, you were, like, the only, you know, for all the jocks and all the type of characters they had, you were, like, the only one that was different and independent, like, an individual. So it was surprising to see you pushed aside so quickly as a character.
Yeah.
I was wondering when it happened.
I think those guys on that show they're definitely secret geeks. Like, they wrote a lot of the stuff, a lot of the fans and stuff they knew about, and they wrote the script. And so they're definitely, like, actually pretty cool and not total jocks who write the show. And so I think they wanted a character to root for. I just like to make up these stories about how wonderful they thought my character was. I auditioned for other parts on that show, though. There were also, like, they had, like, a roller derby girl that was on for a while, and I auditioned for that and screen tested, but I didn't get it. And so they have occasionally characters that I think are sort of more off to me or, I don't know, independent.
That's too bad. Too bad.
Yeah.
So, I just watched Halloween 2, and you were in that as well. How did you enjoy that experience?
It was fun. It was quick and a quick turnaround, which is not normal for the acting world. Like, we shot it in March and April, and we finished in May, and then it was like the premiere was like in August. So it was kind of crazy how quickly it happened, but it was fun. I wanted to work with Rob Zombie because I think he's kind of
the man.
Yeah, I think he's kind of an insane director. Like, watching stuff is like kind of insane. So I wanted to see what it was like to work with him, and it was actually really normal, which is fine. I mean, I didn't want it to be too crazy, but it was fun. It was a good time. Yeah, it was fun to be a part of something that's like such a huge legacy.
Plus, you get added on to the Michael Myers kill list.
Totally, totally. And I feel like that's...
Spoiler, by the way.
Spoiler alert, everyone does. I feel like that's something that it should be a goal as an actor, to be killed by a major slasher character of some sort. So, check on that one,
Plus, Tyler Mane being a former wrestler as well.
Right.
Like, that scene was painful. Did you actually have to do that scene, or was there a stunt woman, or what was it?
The scene that made it to the movie, I was a stunt woman. It was not me. He picked me up by the neck at one point. I think all that got cut out. He dragged me by the hair down the hall. That all got cut, I think. And that was me, and it did hurt. But it's not that bad, because he's such a... Because he is a wrestler guy, and he knows how to do all that kind of stuff. And so he'll tell you, and he'll be like, are you wearing your pads? And he gets very, like... He's very strict about it, which is cool. But the girl who got slammed on the table was not me, but she was really good. They would not let me do that.
Was she hurting after the shoot?
I don't know. She took it well, but but we watching it on like live, it looks to me like it hurt. It looked like she got knocked out for a second.
Right.
I don't know if she did, but she was definitely a trooper. And she was she did a couple people stunts, I think, but she was great for me. I would definitely have her again because she was wonderful.
You know, like, come with me everywhere I can.
You know, yeah, exactly. Because you have to find a good, you know, because stunt people, I feel like it's also an acting job. You know, they have to be able to sell it really well, and she was just really good.
Nice. Now, how did you get into Halloween 2? How that happen?
I was actually still shooting Heroes, and I knew I was leaving the show, and I auditioned for Halloween 2. I just auditioned once, and they said loved the tape, and he was already in Atlanta doing all the prep work. And he hired me. So.
Nice.
But strangely enough, I'm gonna say the wrong name, but they send over like all your stuff, like, you know, like my prep pack and my reel, which the very first scene on there is with Malcolm McDowell, who's in the Halloween series with Rob, and
right.
I have this work with him.
Caligula,
on Heroes. So and so that was, he said that he thought that was really funny, and I think that actually helps my chances. So it worked out well.
Cool.
Yep.
Now what do you have next coming up?
I just did an indie movie out here in LA called The Perfect Student. Sort of a thriller, really different part for me because I was playing a girl who gets accused of killing her roommate and goes to jail, and this professor tries to prove that she's innocent. So it's sort of like a thriller mystery sort of thing. And then I just did a cartoon pilot with Comedy Central called The Invader Scene. Where I play a kind of snotty teenage alien daughter. Voice. And not my actual voice.
Right. Now, I'm sure I've skimmed over a lot of everything else that you've done, but those are the ones that came predominant in my mind. Is there any type of role that you're looking forward to doing, maybe hoping to see come out that you can be a part of or something like that?
God, is there? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And, you know, it's funny. I like, when I first became an actor, I was like, I'm going to do this and this and this. And then now it seems like there's so much out there. It's just like, kind of just want to do good stories. I just want to tell good stories. I love the horror genre, but I definitely want to, like, do other stuff. I want to do, you know, comedy and stuff like that. But, yeah, for me, it's stuff comes along. I like new stories, too. Like, I'm really enjoying, like, the new work that's out there and not the stuff that's just remakes, not the stuff that's based on books or comic books.
Right.
You know?
It's being flooded with in the market.
It is. And I don't think that's a terrible thing, but I do think, like, the original stuff is also really interesting. And so that's been sort of the...
Okay. Well, straying back to the comic book side, what's your favorite comic book?
Of all time?
Top five.
Okay. I'm really bad at this. I actually don't have favorite movies or books or anything because I'm really terrible at
Okay, well, how about books that you don't mind reading over and over?
Okay, that's a good one. Fables has always been one of my favorites. Okay, I'm going to go Fables. This is of all time, okay.
Okay.
The Invisibles. Alias.
Alias, the Marvel series, not, like, based off the TV series.
Correct. Sorry. Is there one based off the TV series?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Whenever I mention it, people are like, why would I want to read Jennifer Gardner when I can watch her on TV? No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is about Luke Cage's girl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's starting a detective agency.
Right. No, it's really good.
No, it's so good, right? And just the art in that, it's like the cover art is so beautiful and all this. How many was that? That was three. I got really into, this is so lame, but I got really, not lame, but I got into The Flash when I was doing all the hero stuff. I was like, I'm going to read everything about everyone super fast. And I don't know, for some reason, those, like, at first I started, I'm not much of a superhero person. Then I started reading it, and the more I read, the more I got, like, really into it. So, maybe The Flash. Oh, X-Factor is actually one I read, the new X-Factor.
The new ones, where the X-Squad?
Yeah, I read those really regularly. Hack Slash is another big favorite of mine.
Hack Slash is good.
And then I basically love anything that Timbal Smith and Brian Wood do. Local, I thought, was like one of the best books that.
Yeah, Local was really good. Yeah. Isn't he coming out with a volume two?
That's what I keep kind of reading on his like Twitter blog places. But I just think he's amazing and he writes women really well.
Yeah, well, I'm reading one of my favorite series she's doing, is DMZ.
Yeah, I love
that. I love that.
DMZ is amazing.
Yeah.
And DMZ is amazing. I just started reading Northlanders.
Oh, Northlanders is great.
See, I haven't ever caught up with it, so I just kind of started now.
So that's the great thing about Northlanders is because there's no character that you have to follow through all the stories. It's different stories about different characters.
Right.
You can actually pick up volume two and not be lost at all.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
FYI.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, those are like my favorite. That was like seven. Seven's okay, right?
Seven's fine. In fact, we won't go to ten.
Okay, God. I just earned some street credit.
There you go.
I didn't get it.
You got plot points there. So, I don't think I had anything else really to ask. Do you want to add anything?
No. Oh, another good one I just started reading is Sweet Tooth. Did you guys read that one?
Yeah, Brian Lemur, is that his name?
Yeah.
I read his other one, The Invisible Man, or The Nobody.
Okay.
If you get a chance, you should read that. That one's really messed up.
Oh, really?
But good. It's about this invisible man who just wants to go into town and be left alone.
Uh-huh.
But in a small town, people see the new guy and they keep, you know, so they drive him to, like, crime.
He likes the outsider characters, I guess.
Yeah, it's really good. But I haven't read Sweet Tooth. I have all five issues, I think. I just haven't read issues.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like a dude with horns. I don't know.
Well, there you go. Tim Curry, look out. She's going after your Legends character. Awesome. Well, thank you for spending time with us.
No problem.
The comic comes out in February. It's called We Will Bury You.
Yeah.
Does it have a website yet?
No, but you could go to mine or Zane's website. Mine's greygrant.com. His is zanegrant.org. Don't ask me why he gets a .org and I have to pay for a .com. I don't know if that's like what the difference is.
He's special.
I know. He's an organization unto himself. And I think we'll have stuff there, but I guess... Do you have a website? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing now.
It is?
Yeah.
Who has time for all of this? Who has time to do all this internet stuff?
I don't know. IDW might actually build you a sub-site, I think.
Really? Maybe we should ask for that.
Maybe you should.
I sound so bitchy. I swear I don't mind. People are like, God, she doesn't even want to put a website. She's so ungrateful.
No. Oh, yes, you're busy. You're busy. We get it.
Not that busy.
You hear that? We're going to send it to all her managers and everything.
They're like, what are you doing?
I'm busy. No, look, according to this recording, I'm not that busy. See?
You can just play that over and over again.
Exactly. All right, well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And there you have it, folks. That was Bria Grant talking about her upcoming comic book, We Will Bury You, done in collaboration with her brother, Zane Grant. So once again, for any further information, you can check out IDW's website or briagrant.com or zanegrant.org. This is AJ. I want to thank you for tuning in to AJ Side Panel, and stay tuned for we'll have more awesome interviews and episodes coming up soon.